This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Rebecca Glenberg is legal director with the ACLU of Virginia. She joins us on the long line from her office in Richmond. How are you, Rebecca?
I'm fine, thank you.
Thank you so much for spending some time with us. I know you're very busy, and I know you probably have some traffic you have to fight to get home since you do live in Richmond. And we appreciate you making some time for us. We just wanted to get you on the phone to help us understand from your perspective, for somebody whose job it is as an attorney to stay focused on the rights of individuals in our country and in the Commonwealth, to help us understand and give us some context for this, these cases here in Albemarle County regarding the so-called bomb plot case, four kids who were charged and found guilty. One of them pled guilty, although he's appealing. The fourth 13-year-old there was acquitted a couple of weeks ago, found not guilty by a jury in a circuit court. And one thing we're trying to figure out is just where we draw the line in terms of the rights of children when they're being questioned by police, the rights of parents to insist on an attorney. And can you help turn the light on for us here and just sort of understand this whole process, which from everybody I've talked to, it's sort of murky.
Well, and I'm afraid it just is murky. I'm not sure that I can clarify it because it's still not very clear. There are no statutes in Virginia that specifically govern the rights of kids when they're being interrogated. And the constitutional standards are also quite unclear. So really, in the absence of action by the General Assembly clarifying those rights, these kinds of problems are likely to recur over and over.
So what we really do need then is we need, for Delegate David Toscano, who's just here, we need folks in the General Assembly to sort of sit down and take a look at this and push the mud back a little bit and figure out what's really going on.
Yes, it would be very helpful to have a statute that clarifies when parents must be present during interrogations, when juveniles can be interrogated without parents, who can request an attorney for a juvenile. All these questions are left completely open by the law as it stands.
Here's what really concerns me is like a school resource officer, for example, a police officer who literally works in a school. They can go and take your child out of class, down to a room, close the door, and sit there and ask them anything they want to. I don't think they're required by law to pick up the phone and call a parent and say, hey, I just wanted you to know I got Johnny, I got Mary, and I want to talk to them, and I wanted to give you the option if you want to come down or if you want to send an attorney to be present. I think as a parent, I should have the right to know when my child is being pulled out of a class to talk with a police officer. And some folks have said, well, that's just like the principal, going to the principal. And I don't think it is. I think it's very different. There's different training. They have different bosses. They have a different agenda.
Well, right. And anytime you're questioned by a police officer, there's the possibility that you might be charged with a crime. Now, the law does require police to notify parents when they detain a juvenile. When they arrest a juvenile, parents are supposed to be notified quickly. But when kids are being questioned in the absence of arrest or before an arrest, parents just need not be notified. And it is very troubling to think that a child who may not be sophisticated enough to know how to handle police questioning might not have an opportunity to have a parent present. And this is a concern that we hear from parents quite frequently.
Now, politically speaking, one of the problems you run into is a lot of folks might be some of the delegates or senators might not be willing to do this for fear of, and Rob Bell articulated this position last week on the downtown mall, for fear of tying the hands of police. You don't want to stand in the way of police who are just trying to make the community safe.
Well, really, all that would be asked would be to put kids on sort of a a fairer playing field. Adults have all sorts of constitutional rights, but adults are in a better position to understand, for example, that when they're not under arrest and a police officer starts asking them questions, they don't necessarily have to answer. An adult is in a better position to understand that a police officer, when questioning him, might be using deceit and might be misrepresenting the evidence against him in order to get certain answers. Whereas children, without that life experience and without necessarily that kind of knowledge, in order to be on a really fair playing field, in order to really exercise the kinds of rights that we take for granted for adults, really could use some extra protection.
Yeah, and we are talking about that protection would need some type of statute.
Yes.
Because the Supreme Court has sort of ruled on this area, haven't they? And they've sort of given the authority to police.
Well, the Supreme Court has ruled in the context of when a child is actually arrested and in custody, and in those cases, the police are able very much to treat that child like an adult in many cases. But the law is very unclear when it comes to pre-arrest questioning.
When a child is just with a police officer and being questioned as a possible witness or as a suspect.
That's right.
Yeah, and of course, what we're saying here, and I just want to underscore it, is the fact that a child alone with a police officer, we have enormous potential for manipulation. And as you pointed out, Rebecca, the child just doesn't have the life experience to say, "Now wait a minute, what am I being questioned about? What's going on here?"
Absolutely, and a child may not feel that he even is allowed to ask those kinds of questions from police officers.
Yeah.
A child is used to responding to and obeying authority. So yes, it's important that that parents be involved in these situations.
Yeah, absolutely. So with the time that we have left, fill us in a little bit. Anything going on with the ACLU of Virginia? Any big cases or stuff that's on your front burner right now?
Well, we're really excited about a recent ruling that came down in our case involving a interstate custody dispute involving a lesbian couple. Don't know if you're familiar with that case.
I remember reading something about it.
Yeah, this is a case where when the couple broke up, the partner, who was the non-biological mom, sought visitation rights and got them from a Vermont court. And then the other mom just moved right down to Virginia and tried to get the Virginia court to overrule it. We've gotten a ruling recently from the Vermont Supreme Court that says that Virginia didn't have any right to do that when Vermont was already dealing with this custody issue, and we're hopeful that we'll get a ruling similar from the Virginia Court of Appeals very soon.
And this is a child that had been raised by both women, right?
Yes, and in fact, both women had planned the child together. They had planned the entire artificial insemination together. The partner was there with the mother at the birth. Was completely involved in raising the child and so forth.
And this, of course, it doesn't have much to do with the same-sex couples, because this happens all the time with heterosexual couples, doesn't it?
Yeah, this kind of thing does happen with heterosexual couples. And there are statutes in place to prevent one parent from moving to another state and trying to get a custody decision overruled. Unfortunately, in Virginia, the lower court held that those statutes did not apply just because this was a same-sex couple. And we think that's really outrageous and it's not taking cognizance of the best interests of the child.
And of course, that if the Marshall Newman or marriage amendment, whatever you want to call it, passes in November, how would this be influenced by that, or would it be?
Well, we hope that if our arguments are successful, that it would not be influenced by that. But these are the kinds of complications that arise when we have legislation like the so-called Marriage Affirmation Act of Virginia or this constitutional amendment. They give rise to all of these unexpected complications that affect innocent parties like children.
Rebecca Glenberg is legal director at the ACLU of Virginia. Rebecca, thank you very much for spending some time with us and for hanging around at work long enough so we could get you on the phone. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. This interview will be archived in its entirety at SeavillePodcast.com.